De Maria Numquam Satis, about Mary Never Enough. This is the great formula of St. Bernard of Clairvaux to describe why Our Lady receives more reverence, more glory than anyone else except for the Most Holy Trinity. Hello and welcome to Marycast. This is Dr. Mark Miravalli, Professor of Theology and Mariology at the Franciscan University of Steubenville. And my friends, I tell you, I'm inspired by the great Marian saints, the St. Maximilian Kolbes, the St. Alphonsus Ligores, the St. Louis Marie de Montfort, St. Bernard of Clairvaux, who tries to give a full picture of the glories of Our Lady, not just what is minimally due to her, but what is actually truly due to her in God's plan of salvation. Because while Mary never will receive latria, the adoration due to God alone, you and I will never properly show reverence for Our Lady in comparison to what the Sacred Heart of Jesus and His love for Our Lady is. No one will love Mary more than Jesus loved Mary and continues to love Mary. So when we're talking about hyperdulia, as we talked about in the last segments, this special level of veneration, I want to again underscore and redefine, why does the Church give Mary an honor second to none in the created order? So once again, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, latria, adoration, sacrifice, that's unique to God. And the Church has always held that. And the theologians and the saints and the mystics have always held that. Now, having established that, why Mary above all others? Well, we talked about three reasons, but I want to delve into them more. Because the St. Maximilians and the Louis Marie de Montforts, they would challenge us to say, can we go to the next step of truth about Our Lady? Now that we've established this truth, can we go to the next step of why we should honor her beyond any other creature? And so St. Louis Marie de Montfort will say, make yourself a slave of Our Lady. St. Maximilian will say, no, let's be the property of Our Lady. You see, they're trying to get more into the mystery of this profound, beautiful, glorious mother. So the three principal reasons, the foundation of all the other reasons, which are endless, are number one, as we've talked about, that she is full of grace. Now, again, when we say full of grace, ke keratomene in the Greek, one who has been completely transformed in grace, we're talking about a level of grace, a level of participation in the divine life, which is absolutely incomparable in all of creation. Saints excel in grace. Mary has this plenitude of grace. The greatest Mariologists have said at the moment of Mary's conception, she had a greater qualitative participation in the life of the Trinity than all the angels and saints would ever have put together. Why? Because grace is that participation in the life of the love of the Trinity. No one else will be the favored daughter of the Father. So favored that the Father wants her immaculate. He wants her all for Himself so that He can say once, just once, I did my creating best. And that creating best is the Virgin, His daughter and our mother. And the Son says mother to this creature. The Son sees and loves in a way that no one can equal. Remember, Jesus alone keeps the fourth commandment as a God could keep the fourth commandment, who becomes flesh. So this is the unity of the two hearts between Jesus and Mary. And this will spill over, if you will, into the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the love between the Father and the Son. St. Maximilian says so profoundly, look, the Father and the Son have the love of each other, and that spills over. But what about the Holy Spirit? Who does His love spill over to? His love spills over to the Virgin, you see, to His created spouse, and through the Virgin to all the rest of humanity. That's why St. Maximilian says the Holy Spirit's the sanctifier. The Holy Spirit chooses by divine disposition to do all through Mary, therefore Mary has to be the mediatrix of all graces. Every grace the Spirit wants to give, He gives through Mary. So that's the level of participation that Mary has. And from the moment of conception, She has a qualitative unity with the Trinity that's incomparable. So first of all, she's full of grace. She's truly the one who the angel calls by the name, full of grace. The angel doesn't say, Hail Mary. The angel says, Hail, you who have been transformed in grace, an action completed in the past. Secondly, Our Lady again is the Mother of God. We are not going to be able to get to the depths of this mystery when a creature gives birth to a creator. We're not going to understand the union of the hearts between the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Remember, that Sacred Heart is formed in the womb of Mary by the blood that the Immaculate Heart pumps into her womb. Mother-son bond is of the most incredible bonds, but this is a supernatural mother-son bond. You can't compare this to any other relationship in the human order between the sacred humanity of Jesus Christ and His Immaculate Mother. Plus, there's total purity on both sides. There's no agenda. There's a perfect love that goes back and forth from this mother and this son. So the fact that Mary calls Jesus truly son, because she gives birth to a son who's truly God and truly man, will never tap the riches of what that means in terms of the union of the hearts of Jesus and Mary. And that's why Suarez, the Jesuit of the later 16th, 17th century, will say, Mary alone had an intrinsic relationship with the hypostatic union. What does that mean? Only Mary had an interior role in God becoming man. And really, no one else is close. And that's the unity between the mother and the son. And thirdly, Mary's perfect obedience. Try for a day, to not have an uncharitable thought about someone, to not have an unjust thought, not an impure thought, not a resentful thought, and to entertain it. I'm not even talking about the actions. I'm talking about just the thoughts themselves. Most of us, in our humility, say, it's hard for us to make it a day without entertaining some judgment, some criticism, exercising some gossip, some uncharitable thought. The mother of Jesus did it for over 50 earthly years. 50 earthly years. And that's why the Council of Trent says in its catechism, Mary never committed sin, even venially. And yet she's entirely human. She's one of us. She's immaculate. She's perfect, but she's one of us. She is truly our solitary boast. And so put all these things together, and really many more, because we're talking about the co-redemptrix, the mediatrix of all grace, the advocate, the queen, the Gabira, the great lady that comes to us and brings us to the throne of her son. Truly, De Maria Num Quam Satis, about Mary, enough cannot be said. And that's always within the order of creation. She's not God, and we all know that. Now we've established she's not God. Let's rejoice in the dignity, the beauty, the profundity, the masterpiece that the Mother of Jesus is, because, my friends, I guarantee you, you and I will never, never be able to do her justice in this life. So let's do our best, and let's give her the veneration she deserves as the Mother of Jesus, the Immaculate Conception, the Perfect Virgin, and your mother and my mother too. This is Mark Miravalli with Mary Class. God bless you.